to Directions on the News for Tuesday, May 8th, 2007. This is Adina Schutzberg from Directions Magazine. I'm joined by my colleague, Joe Francica. Today we'll talk about some of the latest earnings reports from the geospatial companies and try to tease out what's going on. First, a word from our sponsor, Digital Globe. Digital Globe is the world leader for global commercial Earth imagery and the only geospatial content provider delivering end-to-end solutions for global imagery acquisition, access, and integration. Learn more about Digital Globe at digitalglobe.com. So we've got sort of five companies we want to take a look at that either announced earnings or had other things going on with them this week. And let's start out with Trimble.
Trimble reported earnings this quarter. All were about in the line of 20% growth from the first quarter 2007 over 2006. And I think the interesting thing to note here is that, you know, Trimble is really in a more of a traditional geospatial technology market. These are things like engineering and construction, field mobile solutions, something they call advanced devices, which is more in the airborne and surface navigation, military, commercial airlines markets. Again, all of them were experiencing very strong growth, most notably mobile solutions, up about 137%. Kind of an interesting indication of what's going on in the traditional GIS space.
And so Trimble's sort of more aligned to the traditional GIS space in the sense that most people on the street probably haven't heard of Trimble?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a sleeper. If you're in the investment community looking for a high-growth stock, here's something that you know people don't necessarily take a look at. But those who are watching the stock, and I watch it because I'm a stockholder, it's grown quite a bit. I mean, it's up 50% in the last 18 months. So it's seen significant growth. And interesting because, again, for us who are in the business, they're doing extremely well.
True, and they've got a lot of tie-ins with the GIS providers. You see them with their devices at you know, different user conferences and so forth because
right.
their hardware works with our professional GIS software.
Right, and the one thing to note that their CEO noted, Steve Berglund, so this is four consecutive quarters for them, you know, exceeding the quarter million mark. So it gave them four continuous quarters, adding up to $1 billion in revenues.
And we can contrast Trimble with Garmin, which is the company that everybody has heard of.
Yeah, Garmin is putting a lot of effort into advertising in the consumer space. They sold 1.5 million units in the quarter. So that's all of their products. And if anybody who's looked at their website, they've got probably in excess of 70, 80 different types of products that they sell.
And they've been advertising in print. We saw them at the Super Bowl. That's one of those companies that people are really talking about.
They're so popular in the mobile market, the automotive market. That's where they saw their biggest growth, 110% this quarter alone. The problem that what happened, the stock got hit a little bit this week because they kind of guided about what they expected. They had very strong growth, but they didn't say that things were going to get any better, even though they were, you know, they kept selling. They look like they're going to add a new manufacturing plant. They've got several production lines. I think they said 21 production lines in their plants in Taiwan. They're booming.
Right now, behind Garmin are the data companies, and of them, Navtec announced its earnings.
Very strong earnings this week.
Well, I have the numbers that they entered quarter one, ended April 1st, $30.2 million in income, and that was in contrast to last year for the same quarter of $16.2 million, which they calculate as being up 87%.
And then an article that was written up in the Motley Fool by this guy Ryan Furman. Furman was looking at their free cash flow. Now, free cash flow is one of these very unique financial instruments that people look at, but essentially what it is it's cash flow from operations minus capital expenditures. And what they were noting was that Navtec is generating a lot of free cash flow, which for them means that they could put a lot more back into the company. This guy, the guy from Motley Fool, was saying that it means that the shares have some aggressive growth assumptions baked into them. I'm quoting him now. He says, I found Navtec stock a better deal last fall when it was below $30. But if Navtec proves instrumental in bringing real-time traffic updates to drivers and web surfers, investors could see a wide-open road to further gains ahead.
Right, and that's alluding to Navtec's completion of the acquisition of Traffic.com. The other thing that happened this quarter at NAVTEC was they put out their first map of Thailand, which means that they now have 60 countries covered. Coverage keeps expanding.
And we can only expect that eventually both NAVTEC and TeleAtlas are going to cover the world with digital products.
Right, and they're sort of in a race to do that now. Now, some of the analysis that I read about NAVTEC, one of the articles was interestingly titled "The GPS Natural Monopoly," saying that that's sort of maybe where NAVTEC is headed. And this was at Seeking Alpha, and the author points out that, quoting here, "The company owns many advantages way beyond those that Garmin already has, such as very low price erosion, little competition, and the built-in low costs in its product structure," end quote. What they're saying is, once they build this database, they can sell it many, 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 many times once they've built it. So the incremental number of products they sell doesn't really cost them anymore. And they also make
the point,
this fellow at Seeking Alpha also makes the point that location is as critical as time. And he says, well, you know, how many watches and clocks do we have in our lives? Suggesting that the numbers, you know, if in a family you might have 30. In comparison, he says, 99% of people in the world do not own GPS. And I think the suggestion there is that you will. And NAVTEC is going to be providing the data to make that valuable.
Well, I think it's useful. You have to think a little bit way outside the box here in this case. If you assume that everything eventually will be location aware, that's kind of on a hyperbole in some degree, but there's going to be lots of things that will have a location aware device attached to them. And the data behind knowing where that is could be a NAVTEC. The devices, you know, just either whether it's a GPS device or whether you're going to use Wi-Fi or some other type of location aware device, it's going to become increasingly important that you've got, you know, a database behind that so that you know exactly where you are. And NAVTEC and TeleAtlas are going to benefit by that.
Now, there was another announcement this week from Pitney Bowes. And Pitney Bowes just finished off its acquisition of MapInfo in the last couple of weeks. So the numbers didn't really reflect that acquisition directly. But interestingly, Pitney Bowes didn't have a great Q1. And the leadership is basically making the statement that, well, you know, people are waiting and there's going to be a big push after next week when the cost of postage is going up. I thought that was an interesting sort of suggestion because postage has been going up regularly for the past hundreds of years here in the United States. So this isn't a new idea. The folks, again, at Seeking Alpha suggest that, well, if people were in the mailing business and they hadn't yet taken advantage of Pitney Bowes' tools, they're probably not going to. They're way behind.
Well, and there's two ways to look at that. One is, yes, if you do have a lot of things to mail, you're going to look at Pitney Bowes. But if you've already factored in that the cost of a stamp is too much, you're going to look for alternatives. You're either going to go to one end of the spectrum or the other. You're either going to use email to get your correspondence out there or look at other electronic means, or you're going to say, well, I'm not going to mail that often, but if I do have to mail and something has to be there overnight, I'm going to use one of the carriers like a FedEx or a UPS.
And certainly you could argue that they're the leaders in a dying industry if, in fact, you know, the mail will someday go away.
Right. So what do you do in a declining business like mail, which is you go seek another business model, hence the reason for purchasing MapInfo.
And this is sort of the grand tradition of killing the cash cow.
Right. The cow is getting thinner for Pitney Bowes, and so I would anticipate that you might see other acquisitions for that in that company. And if you go down that path of saying, well, okay, you know, we bought Group One, so that's geocoding software. Now we're going to buy MapInfo, which is getting more into the analytical side. You can almost, you know, see yourself being slow walked into the business intelligence arena.
Would a next likely acquisition be, say, a data provider?
Well, that's even a bigger stretch than it was to buy MapInfo, a data provider. I mean, so they're a $5 billion company, Pitney Bowes. So could they absorb something like a NAVTEC or a TeleAtlas? That's a huge question. That's you know, you're looking at what's NAVTEC, $250 million, $300 million dollar company. Hard to see if they would swallow something like that, but that was the size of MapInfo.
And that would put them in a new business that is not, at least at this time, in any danger of dying.
But I think that goes to a discussion we had a while ago, which is, does somebody even larger, like a Microsoft, buy a data company? Could they buy a satellite company?
Absolutely. And so, now with the talks of Yahoo and Microsoft potentially getting together, those talks had existed in the past, they've resurfaced again this week, that would make such an acquisition even more interesting.
I thought that was an interesting ploy that, you know, that Microsoft and Yahoo were trying to do and discuss about going after Google. Those talks broke off, though, on Friday, unfortunately, or fortunately for those companies, however you want to look at it. But they got to do something. And they're looking for an advantage over Google at this point. And buying an Avtec, buying a Digital Globe, I don't think is out of the realm of possibility.
Now, the final company that we want to talk about is not a public company. The company has no obligation to make any statements about how it's doing, and yet, for the third year in a row, Bentley has put out an annual report.
So why do this? They put out the report that their revenues are 15% to $389 million. They put out a small electronic report that shows a nice chart of them being obviously behind Autodesk but ahead of Intergraph, according to a Deritech study. Perhaps they're introducing some transparency to the financial community.
To the financial community, and remember, they certainly did speak of going public in the past, and then when the market sort of turned, they pulled back. They certainly weren't making any statements at their user conference last week about their plans in that arena. But it's an interesting thing to do, and as somebody watching the software industry, it's an interesting choice because certainly in our geospatial arena, we've got sort of all these public companies, and now we're having a few more private companies. We've got ESRI. Intergraph is now private again. Bentley has always been private. And one of the challenges of understanding the state of our marketplace is that the largest player, ESRI, is private, and we don't have access to the kind of details about financials that we do from the public companies.
Right. And so it's a nice courtesy for Bentley to do this.
Well, that wraps up our discussion of the financials this quarter. We'll keep an eye on them for future quarters. Before we leave you, we want to remind you of Digital Globe's commitment to developing open systems and online access points to the world's largest library of combined high-resolution satellite and aerial imagery. That makes Digital Globe the preferred content provider for imagery-enabled applications within the commercial sector. You can visit Digital Globe at digitalglobe.com. Thanks for joining us. We invite you to email us with comments, questions, or suggestions at editors@directionsmag.com. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.